peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I often think that one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do as a pastor was to minister to an 11-year-old boy who was diagnosed with lung cancer, and to minister to his parents, his sisters, and his grandmother. They were a truly devout Christian family, and I guess I should say that nobody among them had ever smoked. Stephen was diagnosed with cancer, and for the next 2 years, his family and the congregation of St. John's Church in Springfield, outside Philadelphia, watched and prayed as the cancer slowly destroyed Stephen's life. He was only 13 at the time of his death. I rarely mention it, but I do in fact have an older brother who was stillborn, my parents' first child. My mother was simply devastated, and for months on end she would spend hours out at Woodlawn Cemetery near his grave, watching the graceful swans on the water. I guess I'm hard-pressed to think of anything worse than parents enduring the death of a child. It's not supposed to be that way, although it is in the providence of God, whose judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out. We read in the Gospel for this Lord's Day, soon afterward Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. The little town of Nain survives to this day as the modern village called Nian. It's about 5 miles southeast of Nazareth. This town of Nain has a fine view of the plain of Esdraelon. But not only is the view pleasant, but a spring makes possible attractive groves of olives and figs. It's thought that the name Nain is taken from the Hebrew word Naim, which means pleasant, delightful. Pleasant, delightful, beautiful. But into all this beauty comes the last enemy of humanity, the grim reaper death. Beauty and death, death and beauty. The scene which awaited our Lord as he drew near to the gates of Nain is an all too familiar, completely ordinary scene. A scene experienced by countless people, countless times, every day, all over this fallen, death-bound world. Funeral procession of mourners, a body being carried to the grave. But what then happens is utterly out of the ordinary, because this procession to the grave, this procession of death, is met by another procession. A procession of life consisting of Jesus' disciples and a great crowd, and Jesus with them. This procession is a procession of life, because Jesus is the Lord of life, as he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And those words are not just words. Those words come to life as the Lord of life has compassion on the widow following the body of her only son to the grave. You might say that here these two processions collide, the procession of death and the procession of life, and life triumphs. "Do not weep," says Jesus to that sorrowing mother. He goes and touches the bier, and its bearer stands still. "Young man, I say to you, arise," says Jesus. The dead man sits up and begins to speak, and Jesus gives him to his mother. Jesus not only gives life, Jesus is the life, just as he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." To this fallen, death-bound world, the one who is life has come. In dying, he destroys our death. In rising from the dead, he bestows everlasting life, not only on us human beings, but on the whole death-bound creation. Remember those words of St. Paul I mentioned last Sunday, where Paul says that in a way we cannot now even dimly imagine, creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. These are the words of Paul. And I love some memorable words of the late Vladimir Lossky. "An infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord. An infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord." Note, from the body of the risen Lord. Because Jesus' body is the body of God, who is light and life from all eternity, made flesh of the Virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the great fathers of the Church, Saint Cyril of Alexandria, explains the meaning of Jesus touching the bier which held the corpse, which held the corpse of the young man. And as I now read these words of St. Cyril, keep in mind that Jesus is the eternal Word of the Father. As St. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So hear now the words of St. Cyril. The Lord Jesus works the miracle not only by word of mouth, but also by touching the bier. He did that so that you may know that the sacred body of Christ has power to save mankind, because it is the body of life and the flesh of the all-powerful Word of the Father, whose power it possesses. For as iron applied to fire will do the work of fire, so flesh, after it has been united with the life-giving Word, the Word which gives life to all things, that flesh also becomes life-giving and a banisher of death. And how wondrous it is that that life-giving body of the God-man is given to be our food in the sacrament of the altar. Christ's body is life-giving food. Christ's blood is life-giving drink. The medicine of immortality, the pledge of the resurrection. So there before the gates of Nain, the procession of life collides with the procession of death, and life triumphs. We remember that every Lord's Day, every Sunday, is a little Easter, because on this day the Lord rose from the dead. Because of the gospel we hear on this day, we are perhaps more conscious of this than we usually are. We remember that just as Easter Day is the glorious triumphant crown of the Christian year, just so every Lord's Day, every Sunday, is the crown of the week. On this day, Christ rose from the dead. On this day, Christ speaks his word of life through the preaching. On this day, Christ, who is life, gives himself to us in that wonderful sacrament of life and love. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.